Good morning, everybody. I got an idea where to really kind of start at, but you know what I was thinking? The nature of man and what the nature of man is so ugly, and the Lord's ways is so much higher than our ways. It's not even funny. And when you look across the board and you look across the churches in general, or you know, just us as people, I mean, whatever the case may be, but you look across and the nature of man always wants to take things and turn it into a religion, so to speak. I mean, if you look at, you know, we look at, I would say, Christianity and the different denominations out there, and then what they believe in is they believe in these list of rules of do's and don'ts. And making that thing which the Lord has given us as a gift and made it a burden. Because the concept of just the Lord dying on the cross for our sins and it being a gift is hard for man to accept. Absolutely hard. They want to earn it. They got to do something to get it. They got to become deserving of it at some point, but that's not the case at all. And this carnal man always takes that which is good and tries to twist it around for evil. And it happens over and over and over again. And the point of the gospel and the reason why Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again from the dead, man, remember that veil being ripped in twain? That was so that we can have a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, just like Jesus had the relationship with His Father. In that same manner, I mean, John talks us to walk as He walked. Why? Because that's what He died for. That's what, we're His body now. We're His ambassadors. Or we should be, anyway. It's not about a list of do's and don'ts and trying to make yourself righteous or worthy or whatever the case may be. That's not the case at all. It's just not. You know, I take a look at just the relationship between my wife and I, for an example. I mean, one of the biggest things that I want from her and probably one of the biggest things she wants from me is just loyalty. Loyalty. And you know, and as I look, and man, I mean, the thought of that not being the case makes me cringe, man. Just the thought of, let's say, her not wanting to be loyal to me. Oh, my goodness. About make a man flip out. Right? You probably guys are going, where is he going with this thing? Well, I wonder how the Lord is when He's sat there and He's given us that gift that we can have a relationship with Him. As Jesus had a relationship with the Father, and yet we turn away from that good thing that He's given us, and we try to go establish some kind of list of rules, or we try to go earn it, or we try to go about our own way, thinking it's better. The Lord's going, nothing's out there better than what I've given you. Nothing. You know, and so what are we doing with that? What are we doing with that? You know, James talks about, I was thinking about Romans, because it's looking at just that whole relationship thing. James says, you adulterers and adulteresses. You have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, because you consume upon your own lust. It's all about your thing. That's not a loyalty to the Lord. That's a loyalty to yourself and your own lust. That's what that is. You know, ask yourself, what are you about? And I tell you, that's a scary question. Now, I'm sitting here talking about it, not because I just walked so just, oh, man, just had, man, I just walked this out so perfectly. No, it was because, man, it just showed me exactly where I'm at. Praise the Lord. Let's go to James. James 4. Yeah, I'm really in a battle between Romans 7 and James 4. But praise the Lord. I mean, both are good. But I'm going to kind of read what I just kind of said here. And it says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your own lust that warn your members? You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have. You cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is the enmity of God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you not think that the scripture saith in vain that the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. You know, before we had even not known Christ, we were in bondage to that spirit that lusteth the enemy, that pride. It's all about itself. It's all about exalting itself. In some way, shape, or form. Some way, shape, or form. You got two sides of the coins. One is the head lifted up high. I can do anything by my own. I'm the man. You got the other side. You hear the guys, man, if I walk into church, it'd be catch on fire. I'll catch on fire. I'm sorry, man. Your sin is just not that bad for God's grace. And you ain't that big and bad. God's way bigger and badder, and His grace is way more sufficient for you than you can ever imagine. But here do we have, and this is where we really need to challenge ourselves, man, what are we about? I mean, here we have Jesus Christ, the Father, not withholding His own Son and giving His own Son that we can have life in Him, that we can have that relationship with the Father. That's what He's given us. What do we do with it? What do we do with it? Do you go about your own way? Do you go about seeking after your own things? Do you go about seeking after fulfilling that lust that can never, never be satisfied? Man, when I looked at that and just kind of just had that thought, of the unloyalty, if my wife, and I'm not saying she isn't, was not loyal to me, and how painful that was to me, how much more the Lord, I mean, laid down His life so we can have that relationship with Him, that you can partake of all good things. All good things. And yet, no, we reject it. We want our own thing. We want our own way. And it's just going to kill us. It's going to just drive us down to destruction. Are you having that child? You have all these good things for it. But they're being disobedient and rebellious to you. And they're keeping themselves from partaking of those good things that you have for them. You remember that David sermon? God hasn't called us to fail, but to succeed. And yet that's what He has laid out for you. He has a plan that you can partake of in that. Are we seeking to really partake of that? Or yet we seek our own thing? The Lord's good, man. And you know what's so cool about the Lord? Is when you come to the truth of yourself and you come to the honestness within yourself and you come to Him and you say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the things I've made it. When, Lord, it's all about You. It's all about You. You know, He'll forgive you. And those things that were held against you are dropped. And yet then you can go move forward in Him. You know what's interesting in David's prayer? And this is an interesting thing. If you go to Psalm 51. I'm going to read it. It's interesting what David, when he was asking for forgiveness, because when David asked for forgiveness, there was actually a repentance. That repentance means it was a turnaround. And that repentance wasn't for what? I mean, he says in here, Lord, forgive me that I can go and continue to do my own thing. Lord, forgive me that I can just go and consume the things that You've given to me to my own lust. No, that was not David's prayer at all. It wasn't at all. If you look, and we go to Psalm 51. And he says, and I'll start at 12. It says, restore unto me the joy of Thy salvation, and uphold me with Thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors Thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto Thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, Thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of Thy righteousness. O Lord, open Thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth Thy praise, for Thou desirest not in sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, Thou wilt not despise. Do good in Thy good pleasure unto Zion, build the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt Thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness and with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon Thine altar. What He was going to sing aloud in? Of Thy righteousness, the Lord's righteousness, how good and graceful the Lord is, and His mercy that endureth forever. He wasn't going to go sing, oh man, I am so special, I am so great, the Lord just had to forgive me. No, he's saying about His mercy, His grace. I'm a worm, but the Lord's so good, He forgave me, and y'all can partake of it. That's what he was going to sing about. He was going to go teach transgressors the Lord's ways. Because David himself, knowing that he was a transgressor himself, and he was able to partake of the Lord's ways, that means those that are transgressors can take part of His ways too. What was it for? Was it for his own consumption? No, it was to magnify the Lord and His mercy and His gospel. See, is that what we're about? Are we about magnifying ourselves, as the other example that I gave, the one that David did not do? I mean, let's face it, guys. What our testimony is it one of, oh man, I did such a good job. I did so great. I did so awesome. No, I made a mess of myself. I made an absolute mess of myself and had a situation that I had no way out. I was in under bondage and there was no way out for me. But Jesus Christ, in His mercy, in His grace, delivered me from that. And I'm not special, and I'm no different than any other buddy out there, any other sinner. And if He could save a wretch like me, that means He can save a wretch like you. That's what should be magnified. Because that's just the truth. That's the truth. And I go back, man, do we take that gift of God? That relationship that He's given us to have. Are we about knowing Him? Are we making Him first in our lives? Are we taking that gift and glorifying Him with it? Are we burying that talent in the dirt and saying, no thank you, Lord. No thank you. Appreciate all you did for me, but no thank you. Isn't that their children what the children of Israel did back in the desert? And guess what? They didn't get the promised land. You know what? I'm no different than any of them. That doesn't mean I have to stay that way. I think I was talking with somebody about relationships and how, well, you know, relationships are not perfect. Everybody's got their issues. Well, no, it doesn't have to be that. Yeah, there might... Our relationship with the Lord doesn't have to be flawed. There doesn't have to be a gap in there. There doesn't have to be a separation. We're called to walk as He walked. We can have a perfect relationship with Jesus Christ and our Father. We don't have to accept anything other than that. We can work towards that. I can never be good, but I can have a perfect relationship with Him. Jesus had a perfect relationship with His Father. And no matter what obstacle came Jesus' way, He overcame. You know what? Jesus was the perfect successor. Didn't look like success. When He was up on the cross and everybody rejected Him and He was beaten down and torn up to the point where He wasn't really recognized as a man up there. But He died and He suffered that second death for us and was resurrected in power. And And he became the successor for all every single one of us. And he has that gift and he has given it to us. It's laid right out there and open for you to have. But he can't make you take it. Didn't he have the promised land for the children of Israel? Wasn't it laid right out there for them to receive and take hold of it and grab it? It was. But they would not have it. Second generation did. Praise God. Hallelujah. What state are we going to be in? Where are we going to be like? Are we going to be like that first generation and not take hold of it? Or are we going to be like that second generation, take hold of it? Be that perfect man as a body, as a unit. Everybody having that same mind. That's what he's called us to be. That's what he's called us to be. That needs to become the thing you're about. Because nothing else really matters. And the fruit of that will be for others to partake of. But if you don't, you're just starving yourself and you're starving others from the freedom and the gift that he has.
Morning, everybody. You know, this thing here is corrupt. And it's never going to get any better. Is doomed to die. But you know, in Jesus Christ we have the opportunity to learn how to walk as he walked. He was not subject to the same things. He did not give himself the same things that we're all about. This thing spent, I don't know, 25 years learning how to please itself, right? Now it's on a retraining mission. We're trying to retrain it to be ruled by the Spirit. You may have varying degrees of success along the way. But even if it looks like a total success to the onlooker, it's still corrupt. There's nothing you can have it do that's going to make it justified. I sit back and listen to especially on Easter and Christmas, I start to get back to, as a kid, some of the great hymns that I miss. I probably acquired 3 or 4 hymnals just so I could go back and see the lyrics on some of the songs. It was so good. It was one I particularly liked around Easter. Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. Except they could carry a tune and I can't. So that was a really good song. But the truth of the matter is, not going to argue about how we date the resurrection. And there's certainly arguments. But the important thing is that the testimony of these witnesses is from the angel. And I'm only going to read one of them. It's in other Gospels. Matthew 28:5. The angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, best three words. He is risen." Those make all that is wrong today all worthwhile. It's all worthwhile. He's risen. God's stamp of approval on his testimony, that he was pleased with his testimony, that his sacrifice was received, and that our sins were paid for, was Jesus' resurrection. He paid a debt he didn't owe. He paid a debt we couldn't pay. We could get executed, but it wasn't going to cover our sins. We'd still be executed and sent to hell. There's no justification apart from Jesus Christ. And the good news is that even though this corrupt thing here is never going to be redeemed, it's never going to be justified, that's not a loser's bracket, because it is by faith in him. We become partakers of his righteousness. We become partakers of his uprightness and his perfection. We are covered by his grace and mercy, and able to be ministers thereof. I need a third hand up here to deal with. You uniquely... absolutely. Yeah. Still be short-handed. The love of the Father, who denied not his only Son, that we might have life. That love doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not its own, her own, is not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil. I don't know how many of those traits we have, but doesn't behave itself unseemly. It's interesting. The next verse, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. That's unseemly. How many times have I said, "Oh, so that guy, that big blowhard, he got caught. He's going to jail now." That's unseemly. Why would you rejoice in somebody else's iniquity getting its comeuppance? It's better to rejoice in that, you know what? You don't have to be held in bondage to iniquity anymore. That's worthy of rejoicing. But that is so out of character for how we are in the flesh. This flesh can't love like that. But in Christ Jesus we can. In Christ Jesus we have life. And the three words, you know, he's risen. Boy, that covers everything. That covers everything. It doesn't get any better than that. In Colossians 3. This is a testimony of the Lord's goodness to us. Seeing our need is so great. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. You can't be perfect. He can. He is. And when you're hid with him in God, you take on his righteousness. You partake of his mercy and his grace. And you're able to do the things he did. Greater things can you do, because he's not right here anymore. We are him right here. And now by design. And if a whole body of believers is hid in Christ with God, then they walk and carry that same perfection by faith. They may look like me and Philip and Brad, but joined together, knit together by faith in Jesus Christ. Man, if we could just grasp how great that is and start walking and start acting like it. There's enough right there to just this. Exceedingly abundantly beyond that which you can ask or think. You can't, you really can't even give it good construct in your vaguest imaginary ability. It just, and I'm fixing to make words up here because they just don't come. But his goodness and his greatness this day and every day. Every day is a good day. Because he died and was risen again. This day in history, and it works for me today, tomorrow, and every day I get to wake up in this old body. Because he's good. I'm sitting here thinking to myself, you watch enough of these holiday movies, I see the Jesus character surprised, like he didn't know he was going to get taken to the cross. He would, trust me, he wasn't surprised. He understood where he was going. That's why he had the prayer, Lord, if this cup may pass from me, but not my will. Fine. Because he knew where he was going. This was not a surprise to him. If he could be surprised, then that means the whole rest of his testimony was... It was not a surprise. I don't know who puts these movies together, but I mean... Evidently, maybe, or a different one. But you know, we just wrap this day up with how good the Lord is. And Jesus' ministry that He has given us is a reconciliation, a ministry of reconciliation between the Father and man. He is that mediator. If He was that mediator, then we partake of that mediation by being able to tell others about the gift. Not just the gift of salvation, but the resurrection and the new life. I'm done.